We talk about amazing ant colonies. What fascinates you particularly about how they operate?
Well, I mean, so ants aren't my particular area of expertise, but they are fascinating. Yeah. So, I mean, I think one of the things that really fascinates me and many other people is how they manage to do such complex things, even though they have relatively small brains and they don't have a leader. There's no ant in charge telling them what to build and where to go. The patterns we see are kind of self-organizing. So a lot of the smaller ants particularly, they communicate using chemical signals. So they'll use pheromones. So when they're finding food, for example, if one ant goes out, he'll lay a little trail behind him so that his friends can find the same trail and find the same food. And I don't know if you ever looked at ants near a colony, but sometimes you'll see them bump into each other and they look like they're having a little conversation.
Yeah.
And they're, to put it genteelly, they're swapping spit and swapping chemicals and and learning about where the other ones have been. So there's a lot of chemical communication that goes on amongst ants when it comes to things like nest building, and some very simple rules that they use for if you're carrying something and you smell a particular chemical, then you can put your piece of mud down here, and this carries on until they've constructed quite complicated nests.
So the chemicals they're actually using, John, are they sort of emitted by their own sort of glands or made internally?
Yeah, and they'll have them in the kind of saliva, but also through various glands. And also they can smell certain compounds. So one very good example that I find fascinating is a particular types of ants that build cemeteries.
Wow.
So it's really interesting behavior where they will gather up dead ants and other dead insects and they'll pile them all together into a big central cemetery, for want of a better word. And there's some very simple rules. Basically, if they smell a particular smell that tells them this is a dead thing, they'll pick it up and they'll carry it away and put it on the pile. And some researchers have done experiments where they've painted live ants with that smell, and their friends will continuously pick them up and put them in the graveyard. And they'll climb back out and they'll get put back in again because they smell like they're supposed to be over there. So that
seems a bit mean.
It is, but it is funny to watch.
I mean, that's incredible to think in that sense they actually build. I mean, would you say that most of us would have probably seen that activity but not really understood what was happening?
But not known what's happening. And a lot of that would happen underground.
Okay.
What's happening on the surface, you might just see individual ants carrying certain things. Sometimes you will see them. And another interesting thing is that cemetery isn't out of respect for the dead. They actually grow a fungus on top of all these dead animals and they feed that to the larvae. So they're basically farming fungi inside of their nests.
Grown off
the bodies of other ants. And that's quite a complex behavior that comes about through very simple rules and chemical communication.
Well, do we have any sense of how many different types of smells or chemicals they use part of that communication process?
Gosh, I couldn't say offhand, but there are many, many different chemicals that will have evolved over millions of years for different purposes, for mating or for food or for construction of nests or many other different things. It's quite a complex world of chemical signaling that they go through. And over the years, the millennia, these things, when you have such a system of chemical communication, if other animals are evolving alongside it, they can find ways to manipulate that system.
What sort of insects or other creatures have learned how to intersect that and maybe affect the way ants communicate?
One of my favorites is a group of butterflies called the blue butterflies, Lycaenidae. So these little guys, they're caterpillars. They look nothing like ants. They're usually bright pink or bright green. And they've learned to manipulate these chemical signals that the ants produce. And there's various levels, and it happens, they're spread out throughout Australia and throughout Europe and basically around the world. And some of them will put out a sugary substance that the ants quite like through a little tube on their back, and the ants will eat the sugary substance and they will hang around, and then they gain some food and the caterpillar gains protection from other predatory ants, because normally ants, if they found a caterpillar, they would just chop it up and feed it to their babies. So these guys, they get an armed guard by giving out sugar. And there's some recent paper just a few days ago actually showed that it's not just sugar. There's basically some kind of drugs inside of that. And it increases the levels of dopamine in the brains of these ants. So they become more chilled out. And they even marked the same ants. So one particular caterpillar will have the same ants hanging around, guarding it over quite a long time.
Gee, that's clever. I mean, because that makes sense, because I guess if they got too excited by the sugar, it could sort of send them in the other direction into like a feeding frenzy, couldn't it?
Yes, yeah. And that's, there are other things. So that's the beginning of it with these blue butterflies, where they gain protection by giving some sugar. But sometimes they go a bit further and they actually get the ants to bring them inside their nests. So
that seems a risky strategy.
Yes, yeah, you would think so. Being surrounded by millions of ants that could easily tear you apart and eat you. But it's really interesting because they visually look nothing like an ant or an ant larva. But because they use a mimic of the correct chemical signal, the ants take them in. They assume that these are larvae, so they're foraging around. They find a larva lying around. They say, oh, you should be in the nest. And they carry him in and put him in there with the with all the babies, which is pretty interesting. And there's a particular species or group of species, the large blues, Maculinea, in Europe. And they do this. And they're bright pink, and they get carried in amongst the little white larvae by these red ants, these unfortunate little ants.
And they just hang out there, do they? Sort of stealing food and pretending to...
Well, that's interesting, actually, because there are two strategies that they use in the same species. Some of them, when they're brought in there, they'll turn predatory and they'll just eat all the ants' larvae.
Oh.
And because there's a food source there, they just eat it, and then they'll turn into a chrysalis and emerge after winter as a butterfly. But other ones develop a cuckoo strategy, where they continue putting out these chemicals, convincing the ants that they are, in fact, a baby ant. And they will allow the ants to feed them. So the ants, much like a cuckoo in a bird's nest,
develops this way of mimicking and making the ants mistake it as an actual part of the tribe.
Yeah, and they'll continue feeding it and feeding and feeding it until it grows bigger, and eventually it forms a chrysalis and metamorphoses into a full butterfly. At which point it has to get out of there very quickly, because the ants will eat an adult butterfly.
I figure that one out then, do they?
yes, they do. Well, it's interesting. There's some more work that's been done on these particular guys, that not everybody falls for the trick.
Oh, that could be dangerous. So when does that happen?
Well, this is a situation that doesn't happen in nature, but it was particularly interesting. In one study, these caterpillars are transported to the brood chamber where all the larvae are kept, which is separate from where the queen is, so the queen would never see these caterpillars. But some scientists who were interested, they put some caterpillars beside some queen ants, and they didn't fall for the trick at all. They immediately attacked it and tried to kill it. And the worker ants who were falling for the trick, they defended the poor caterpillar.
Oh.
So for some reason, the trick doesn't work on the queen, which is interesting.
It's fascinating, so she's too clever to fall for the the sugary...
The sugary drugs that they put out. Yeah.
That's incredible. John McAvoy's with us on ABC New England Northwest in Creepy But Curious this morning. Definitely at the curious end of the spectrum, I think, this morning, John.
Excellent.
Does this happen in commonly in all ant colonies, or is it particularly just in some parts of the world?
Oh, well, I wouldn't say in all ant colonies, but it does happen around the world. Wherever you find these butterflies, they rely on the ants to raise their young. So it does happen here in Australia, and there's some examples, particularly green tree ants, the ones that weave a nest out of leaves up in the trees. Particularly, you'll see them further north from here. They quite happily take blue butterfly caterpillars into their nest and protect them and feed them. So it does happen quite a bit. More so, probably, I'm more familiar with it in Europe, but basically wherever you get these little blue butterflies, and there are many different species, you will find that they're closely connected with ants and rely upon them to raise their young.
What a fascinating, I guess, way of developing, and a fascinating story that scientists have been able to identify that connection. Now, how does another insect tie itself into this story? That the wasp.
Yes,
how does this even? It sounds like something from Home and Away. To be honest, it's a complicated
things get
soapy
more and more
story.
Yes,
you've
it
got
does.
More. But how does that become involved?
Well, as ever with nature, it's always more complicated than we think, and there's always more and more layers of curious things to be looking at. So, going back to these large blue butterflies, the Maculinea, so their little pink caterpillar gets brought in by the ants. But there's a particular type of wasp, an ichneumon wasp, which is a parasitic wasp, which likes to lay its eggs inside other animals. And it also wants the protection of an ant nest for its eggs. but it has a more complicated way of going about it. So these wasps have an amazing ability. Again, they're not tricked by the caterpillar. They can tell the difference. And not only can they tell the difference between an ant and a caterpillar by the smell, they can detect which ant colonies have got a caterpillar hiding inside them. So they'll fly around maybe hundreds of nests, and they'll find the one that does have a blue caterpillar hiding in the middle of it. And then they'll go in to the nest, and as you might expect, if a big wasp walks into an ant nest, the ants go crazy and attack it. But it has some chemical tricks up its sleeve as well. It produces a pheromone that sends the ants crazy, and they attack each other.
Oh, no!
So while the ants are tearing each other apart, it quite happily trundles down to where the larvae are kept and sniffs and feels its way along until it finds one that it knows isn't a real ant, it's a caterpillar. And it then injects that caterpillar with its eggs, which is pretty horrendous, but it's quite clever.
And does that caterpillar then die, or does it just continue to live with these other...
Well,
sci-fi horror film growing its own.
It is a bit disgusting, unfortunately. So
all of those creepy now.
Yes, excellent. So all of those caterpillars will eventually pupate, so they'll form a little chrysalis around themselves as they do, and some of them will crack open, and a beautiful butterfly will come out, and he'll run off and fly away. But some of them, when they crack open, there's no butterfly left. There's an adult wasp in there, because the wasp's eggs have hatched inside the caterpillar and have eaten their way out and eaten the caterpillar as their first meal.
That is just disgusting.
It is. But fascinating all the same, that all of these layers of chemical communication are happening, and the ants have these wonderful systems, but then butterflies and wasps, they hijack it and use it to their own advantage.
So even in the insect world, don't do drugs. That's basically the bottom line. Yes. Is even in the insect world, don't do drugs.
And stay away from wasps.
What an incredible ability for that wasp to understand that. It's so clever, isn't it?
And we still don't know a lot about how that wasp does it. How does it detect those nests that have a little caterpillar hiding inside them?
What type of wasp was it?
It's a type of parasitic wasp called an ichneumon. So there are many types of those as well. But they, instead of a sting, they have what's called an ovipositor. It looks like an elongated sting, and they'll jab it into caterpillars or other animals' larvae, and they'll inject an egg inside.
And is it their only way of growing their young, or would they have multiple egg deposits going on around the sort of place?
In general, they tend to be quite species specific. So one particular species of parasite wasp will specifically go for one particular. So these guys will only go for blue caterpillars, where another one will go for different ants or different caterpillars. So they can be quite specific relationships.
Gee. John McAvoy is with us from UNE. Creepy, very creepy and curious this morning as we look at this interesting world of the way ants and larvae and caterpillars and wasps should stop using drugs and sort themselves out. But what do we learn from this, from science? What over the years have scientists been able to find out in researching this incredible little sort of colony and ecosystem that's developing?
Well, there's so much that we've learned. I mean, most of the things that we've mentioned already have been discovered through diligent people sitting and watching ants for a very long time and raising them very carefully in the lab and looking at how all these things interact. And it really is just a marvelous example of how these patterns emerge and how something so complicated can be built on a relatively simple signal. It builds up and up into a system with many different layers of predators and cuckoos and parasites, and it's some fascinating stuff. And there's a huge body of research into the specific types of chemicals that are being produced and which species are connected with which other species. And there's a lot to be learned from the chemical interactions of insects. We just have to spend a lot of time watching them.
Yeah, just fascinating. So would you say, with the maybe the kids in the backyard or something that's happening in your garden, I mean, how close could you get to seeing, would it be safe, first of all, and could you sort of watch this happen if you had any blue butterflies maybe around?
Oh, I would say absolutely. I mean, it depends on the species and where they are. So obviously you've got to be quite observant and keep an eye on different caterpillars. And where you see ants' nests, if you look around where the ants are foraging, sometimes you'll see interesting things going on. It's really all about keeping your eyes open. I wouldn't suggest anybody goes to try and get inside an ant's nest and dig it out for one, for the sake of the poor ants, but also it's possibly not the best, particularly if you're talking about bull ants or jackjumpers.
It wouldn't be very pleasant,
no. No, not a particularly pleasant activity, but it can be quite easily observed. It takes the bit of patience and time to sit and watch where the ants are going and what they're doing, and they're not just randomly moving around your garden. They're up to things.
They're ants with a plan, absolutely.
Absolutely,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, John, what a fascinating bit of the world you've opened up to us this morning. Thank you so much for
Thank you very much for having me.
Lots of fun, very creepy and quite curious, but always good. Thanks, John. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you very much, Kelly. Bye-bye. Thank you.